us. You know, nothing can take the place of the clothes that they wear. I think back about my dad. My dad lived to be 70-some years old and never owned a pair of colored socks in his life. He proved that you can wear white socks with a blue suit. My dad proved that you can wear flannel with anything at any time during the year. He proved that you can wear a BB&T or Jeff Gordon hat with anything to accessorize it, and it will work. But also think about the things that our dad said to us, and I'm sure you've got some of your favorites, but I think about some and ask some of my friends. I always, things that dads would say, don't make me come back there. And when you're riding down the road, don't make me come back there. This was mine. Stop that crying or I'll give you something to cry about. I never could quite understand that one. Or how about when they would say, if, and you insert your friend's name here, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you think you ought to do it too? They'd always say, you better change your attitude or I'm going to change it for you. You remember those things. And just like a mother, a father's work is never done. They've always had more to do, and they always had more to try to do to raise a family, to provide for a family, to train us up in the way that we should go. I think about in Proverbs, where we've been studying the last 5 or 6 weeks, and where we'll be finishing up next week. Proverbs had a lot to say about fathers and sons, too. And today we're going to look in Proverbs at some of those places. So we'll stay there predominantly the whole time if you want to go ahead and turn to Proverbs in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." 23 times in the book of Proverbs, Solomon refers to fathers. 49 times he refers to sons. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs as a way to pass on wisdom and guidance to his children. First to his son and his sons and to his daughters. A way to undo that. That was one of the ways that he was doing the job of a father. And I have a question for you today. Where are your thoughts today? What are you thinking about on this Father's Day 2012? Are they on your dad, thinking back about the times with him? Maybe your mind is on being a father yourself and the responsibilities and wondering how you're doing, things like that. Are those thoughts positive or are they negative? Do they bring joy and thanksgiving to your heart, or maybe some questions, maybe regrets, some guilt? You know, holidays can be tough. Mother's Day can be tough on us sometimes. Father's Day can do the same thing, either because we've lost that father that meant so much to us, or possibly it can be that we didn't have that home that had Andy Griffith for a father, or Father's Knows Best, or any of these other famous TV dads that we saw that always had all the right answers and everything was perfect. Maybe we didn't have that when you grew up. And Father's Day is kind of tough because it brings back a lot of not-so-good memories. And some of you may be reflecting on the type of job that you've done as a father. Maybe there's a little regret, guilt, questions about the future. Is it too late to correct some of the things that I neglected or overlooked in raising my children? A lot of different things can be going through our minds today. I think Proverbs has something to say to us today about where our thoughts are, where our minds are on this day. And I want us to look at that and see if you're not in the same place. And if not, maybe there's some things we do need to think about. In Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says this. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, and do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house," I want to stop there for just a minute. You know, as you fathers and mothers, as you get to be an adult and you try to tell children something about when you were a child, they don't think you were ever a child. You were never a child. You were never a teenager. You were never there. When I was in youth ministry up in Virginia, this is 20-some years ago now, there was a little bitty girl in our church, and I was talking to her at a fellowship dinner. And we were talking, and I said, "Do you know who that lady is?" And it was my mother. She said, "Who?" And I said, "That's my mom." And she got a puzzled look, and she turned to her mom. She says, "Mama, Greg has a mother." It's like they can't even think that we would have those things. But Solomon says, hey, when I was a kid, just like you, when I was still young and an only child of my mother, what he's saying, he says, when I was just as special in my mother's eye as you are to us right now, this is what they did. He taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Solomon's thoughts are on several different things here. And that's what I want us to look at and maybe see if we're not in the same place of thinking those. The first thing that should be on our minds today is that our minds should be on our fathers. And that's logical. It's Father's Day. Of course we're going to be thinking about those things. And Solomon says, let me share some things to you, my son, about my father. Some things that my father said to me. Something that, and some of you can really identify with that because you're thinking back right now with a smile on your face of those things your dad said to you, the guidance that he gave you and the way he led you and prepared you for life, those type of things. And he really did enrich your life because of the kind of man he was. Solomon's father was King David. Solomon had a father who was a king. David, the giant killer. David, the mighty warrior. David, one of the most well-known and respected men of all time in Israel. Three generations are represented here in this talk. He's talking about David, Solomon, and then his sons. And Solomon was the bridge that connected these two things here, the connecting point. My mother was the bridge in my life, in my sister's life. She was that bridge to my grandfather, her dad, who was a great man. He was a kind man, compassionate. He was a man of principle. He meant what he said, and he stuck to his principles. And my mom made sure that we had a relationship with him so we could gain from that. And she also would teach us and tell us things that her dad had taught her. But let me tell you this, my grandfather wasn't perfect any more than yours wasn't or your dad is now to you, perfect. One of my favorite stories that were told on my grandfather, and I know it's true, was when he was courting my grandmother. When they met as young people, the only place he could date her and go get to be with her is he went to church with them. And so one night, and this church still stands up in the country. I've seen it one of the last times I was up there. He went to revival service with them. And when he came down the aisle and went to sit down, you see, my grandfather, he wasn't a heavy drinker, but he liked to take a little dram every once in a while. If you remember, as old folks, we remember to take a dram, just a little bit of drink. And that night, he had, as he was wearing his coat like this, he had his little liquor bottle in his coat pocket. And as he came down the aisle, and pews are just like ours, when he sat down, he caught it on the side, and it pushed that pocket up, and the little liquor bottle rolled right out in the middle of the aisle of the church. I don't know why they let him continue to date my grandmother, but somehow they worked it out. But see, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a very good man who taught me a lot. He was a positive role model. But if you're sitting here today thinking that you didn't have that perfect father, that perfect role model, don't fixate on that. So let me tell you, none of us did. None of us had a perfect father, a grandfather who was there. And no one had that. Solomon didn't always have a father that was the best for him, a great role model. You know, King David wasn't perfect. He committed adultery. It was known nationwide what he had done. He basically committed murder by having Bathsheba's husband put on the front line so that he would be killed in battle. He was absent from the home many times because he was out fighting battles. The home was torn apart because of the feud that he had with his other son, one of the other sons, Absalom. So it was a broken family in many ways. But Solomon didn't discount the words that his dad told him just because his dad had not lived up to the words that he taught. He didn't practice what he preached. And that's an important lesson for us here today, that our dads, what they passed on to us, what our grandfathers, and if you didn't have a grandfather or a dad, those people, those special people in life who have passed on to you, they haven't been perfect, but that does not mean that the wisdom they've passed on is not worth listening to. Second thing that you thought where your mind can be this morning, your mind is on yourself as a father. You know, that's a logical place to be. Solomon was trying to be a good father. He was trying to pass on to his children advice, and that was part of his responsibility of being a good father. You may be sitting here doing the same thing right now, wondering, am I a good enough father? What kind of job have I done? Have I messed things up so bad I can't go back and fix them? What's the future life for me? Maybe a man here today who knows he's going to be a father very soon. And you can have those questions and those doubts right now. All of us are conscious of our mistakes that we've made in life. We've all made them. And the question is not whether or not we've made mistakes. It's whether or not we're going to allow those thoughts to consume us and keep us from moving forward. Or are we going to move forward in our lives? Solomon had some good advice for us. I just picked out a verse here, a challenge to us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, if you want to drop down a little further. Verse 14 of chapter 4 says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men." That sounds good. That sounded real good. But Solomon had a hard time practicing that himself. You know, as we read through the Kings and the account of Solomon's life, we see that he let his guard down. And he began to offer sacrifices to false gods. We read that this is just a little telling notice here. When Solomon built the temple to God, and then he built the house that he was the king's palace that he was to live in, he spent twice as long working on the house that he would live in than he did on the house that would represent God's house, the temple. Shows a little bit of where his priorities were at that time. And one other small detail that we should mention about Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. Just a small thing I would mention to put in there. He wasn't a perfect man. He didn't practice everything that he preached. But he didn't throw out the advice that he had gotten from his father, that came from God. He didn't say, well, since I couldn't live up to it, I can't pass it on to anybody else. He still believed in the wisdom in spite of the foolish choices he had made. Don't reject God and his wisdom because a father or a mother or a spouse or a preacher, somebody in your past didn't live up to what they preached, what they taught. They didn't walk the talk. Their failure doesn't change the message. There's still wise words from God. Some of the best teachers are those who didn't follow the wisdom of God, have realized it now, have repented of it, now have 20/20 hindsight and say, oh, don't make the mistake I made. Oh, please follow the wisdom of God. Listen to what your father and mother tell you. There can be some of the greatest teachers they are. Sure. Your dad may not understand that you want a tattoo, but your dad understands what it's like to make choices you got to live with for a long time, and you make them at too early an age. Your dad may not can understand that you need this car. It is the perfect car, but your dad understands what it's like to be in debt and how crushing that can be. Your dad may not can understand just how much you love this person, and how much they love you, and you want to give yourself to them. But your dad can understand what it's like to give your heart too many times to too many people and then live with it the rest of your life. We need to listen. We need to listen even though they haven't always walked in the way they should. And if you're the father, you're the mother here today who made a lot of those mistakes, and now you feel like that has disqualified you for passing on to your children, and you think you can't say anything to them because you made so many mistakes along the way, don't do that. Don't hide in the corner of that. Don't put God in such a small box that you say to him, you can't take my failures and use them to teach my children. Be transparent to your children and tell them, look, I made the same mistake you're about to make, and I regret it with all of my heart. Please don't make the same mistakes. Share that with them. Something that a passage here would be good for us all to remember is in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James says this. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You know, our goal is to become more like Christ. Our goal is to look like Christ more every day. And James uses this simple but so powerful illustration of looking in a mirror to tell us that. You know, what do we use a mirror for? We look in the mirror to see if everything's okay before I go out. You know, is there any changes? Is there any changes I can make when I look into this mirror before I go out into the workplace, before I head to school, before I go out of the house? You look in the mirror, and he says, when you look in that mirror and you see changes and you don't make them, that's silly. And he says the same thing. When you look into the perfect law of God, when you see the changes, that when you look at that reflection, it doesn't match who you are. He says you change to match it. And that's the illustration he uses. And although we will never look like Christ, we'll never be like him completely, our goal is to work that direction every day. It's to be able to say, a year from now, I'm closer to Christ. I'm more like Christ than I was a year ago. It's a lifetime achievement. Max Lucado says, let your failures refine you, not define you. Let me say it again. Let your failures refine you, not define you. You see, your children are not going to evaluate you on one thing. They're going to evaluate you on the whole, on everything. So stay engaged in their lives. Continue to pass on the wisdom. Proverbs 23:24 says this, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. And I love this because that is so true. To see parents when they're so proud of their children and they can't wait to tell people, they beam with pride of how well their son or daughter is doing in something. They can't wait to let people know. That's a pride that's there. And Solomon says the father of a righteous man has great joy. And isn't that just what we want as fathers? Is to be able to be proud of our children, of their accomplishments, to see them walk close with God. I'm going to try to show you something here on the screen. We're usually able to capture these things and fix them very nicely, but we can't. And so we're trying to do this on the fly right now, right off of the internet. It wouldn't let us capture it. But I want to show you from a church, the Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, a wedding that took place. And I want you to, they're members there at Southeast. And these two young people, as they give their vows to each other, they wrote their own vows, they gave them to each other, and neither have heard the vows from the other until just now. And then I want you to notice something that the young lady says, and I want to make a point about that. So we're going to see if we can get that going in the balcony here.
Leah, as I take you to be my wife, I pray that God molds me to be the husband of your dreams, but more importantly, a husband in whom he is pleased. You are truly a gift from God, and I promise to spend the rest of my life treating you as such. I will cherish you always and never take you for granted. I will love you and be faithful to you alone. I will be a strong spiritual leader in our home through good times and bad, in joy and in pain. When you need encouragement, I'll be there to build you up. When you need support, I'll be the rock for you to stand on. I love you, Leah. And it is with all my heart that I make this pledge to you and to God.
I read these before he started, so I got the Kleenex for me.
Ryan Daniel Bridgman, you are quite simply the love of my life. In you, I have found my most trusted confidant, my greatest cheerleader, my spiritual leader, and perhaps most importantly, my best friend. You are kind, gentle, loving, caring, and thoughtful, and all around perfect. Since I was a little girl, I have always wondered if I would ever find a man as good as my father. However, today that question has been answered in you. And today my biggest worry is, will our future daughters ever find a man as wonderful and as endearing as you? And I pledge that I will care for you deeply, champion your causes, and love you forever. Thank you for making my life. Love, Leah.
Did you see it? The glance. The glance when she was reading her vows to her husband. And she come to that part and she said, since I was a little girl, I always wondered if I would ever find a man as good as my father. And she looked. She looked back at her dad. She turned from her husband that she'll spend the rest of her life with, and she looked back at her dad. The glance. And what was taking place there was the connection of the generations. That a father that had meant the world to her and prepared her for this day, and she gave him the glance. Connecting the past to where her future would be. And then I love what she says. But however, today that question has been answered in you. And today my biggest worry will be for my future daughters. Will they ever find a man as wonderful as you are? That is the greatest compliment, badge of honor that she could have passed to her dad right then. And what Christian father would not love to hear that from their daughter? That I look back at you and I see the man that I want to live with someday. And then I'll begin to pray for the daughters that they will be with a man like that. But that day would have never happened that the father not poured his life into his daughter for all of her life, doing everything that a Christian man should be doing, preparing for that day. And then that honor is passed, and such as that. Just a glance. She was looking for the reflection of her father in another. And that just leads me to the last point I want to make here shortly today, is that our mind needs to be on our Heavenly Father today too. Especially on this day. Even though as we look back at our dads and what they've meant to us, as we look at our father, at fatherhood today, and all the questions and all the hard work and all the uncertainty that goes, our minds need to also go to our Heavenly Father, especially on this day. One of the greatest frustrations of a parent is that we want so badly for our children to make right choices, to make good choices. And one of the most frustrating and heart-wrenching things for a parent to have to go through is that our children don't always make those choices. And if we could, wouldn't we make them for them ourselves? Wouldn't we just go with them all through life and make those tough choices for them? But we can't. We can't rely on that. I've seen parents that were the most godly parents that poured their lives into their children and then see those children rip their hearts out with the decisions that they'll make. And I've seen, and you've seen these both too, I've seen where young people come out of a home where the parents were basically absent. They did nothing to prepare those children for adulthood, to train them up in wisdom of the Lord. But these young people come out and break that cycle and become some of the greatest young people in the world. And how do you explain it? God. That's the only way that they could break a cycle like that, is for God to have a part in that, to break that cycle of destruction. And the only father we can really rely on totally and completely is our Heavenly Father, because we don't know what our children are going to do. I read the story of John Dolligan. He's the national golf director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And in his testimony, he tells this. He says that he grew up in a home with an alcoholic father, a violent alcoholic father. He said every time his dad drank, which was quite often, he would take it out on him, one of the children. And he said, one example was, he came home one night, 10 minutes late. And he said, when he opened the door and stepped into the house, his father just cold cocked him, just about put him through the wall for being 10 minutes late. He said, my dad was my worst enemy. I hated him. He says, well, with time, we began to attend a small church. And everybody in the family attended except my dad. We became Christians, were faithful, except my dad. He didn't want anything to do with it. So one night they were at a revival, and they were sitting down where they usually sit towards the front. And unbeknownst to them, their father came in and sat in the back. And at the end, when the invitation was given, they were shocked than when they saw their dad walking down the aisle. And that night, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. John Dolligan tells, he says, I read in my Bible where Jesus turned water to wine. He said, that ain't nothing. He said, I saw Jesus turn the man who was my worst enemy through the power of God with time became my best friend. That's why we rely on the Heavenly Father. Don't you tell God that he can't change things. Don't you tell God that he can't change a life. Don't you tell God that he can't take our imperfections and our imperfect lives and the homes that we've grown up in or what we're living in right now, and God cannot bring good out of that. Don't tell him that. So if you sit here today and as you look back at the past at your father, I pray that they're just full of just great memories and thanksgiving in your heart. And a smile on your face, and a twinkle in your eye. Or if you're looking at your fatherhood right now, where you're at, you're just so pleased and thankful to be a dad, and you feel like you're doing what you can and doing the best that you can to be a dad, I pray that there's thankfulness in your heart and that twinkle in your eye, and you can't wait to just keep living as a father. But if you're looking back at those times, and they're not what I just described. There are a lot of bad memories. There's a lot of regrets and a lot of guilt and a lot of grudge. Turn it over to God. Living with it any longer doesn't make any difference. It's just going to hold you back even another year. If you're a father who's feeling like that you need to make up for some things in your children's life and you need to start pouring yourselves into their lives, today's the day to start it. This Father's Day is the day to start doing that. And then just step back and rely on God to see the changes that he'll bring in your family. Let's stand together.